The reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting at verse 1 and reading to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, Akhil, thank you very much indeed for reading for us. And may I start by wishing you a very, very happy new year and a fruitful new year, both here in the city and at home with families and friends. The purpose of this first talk in the new year, I've called it A Fresh Start, is as advertised by way of follow-up to our carol service addresses. And I have in my mind two potential listeners. The first, somebody who attended a carol service before Christmas and who is returning for something of a second taste in the new year. If that is you, I'm really glad you've been able to join us, and I hope you might be able to make it a regular diary entry and join us Tuesday by Tuesday as the year proceeds. There is nothing more important being discussed in the city than the issues that we are discussing here Tuesday by Tuesday. Back in December, we looked at John chapter 1, verse 14, and we examined the true meaning of Christmas, and we saw then that the events of Christmas are history, and they speak of divinity. And I said then that we would go back and look at verse 12, which explains why we are reading rather an unusual reading at this time of year. At the same time, I have in mind the Christian believer, and I want us to begin the year together as believers by reminding one another of who we are, what it is that God has made us, and therefore how we should approach the next 12 months here in the city. I am eager that at the start of 2012, we approach the year full of security, with a strong measure of humility, and a deep sense of gratitude. So three very simple points taken from verse 12 and its context, and let's begin by reminding ourselves of what verse 12 says. But to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. First then, the confident assurance of the true Christian believer that should lead us rightly to a deep sense of security. Whatever this year may hold for us, this confident assurance should mean, as we make our way through the year, that in the midst of everything that God has for us, there is a deep security. It's spelled out for us, isn't it, in verse 12. He gave the right to become children of God. And we see here that the Christian faith is not an opportunity necessarily for health or wealth, or an improved social life, or a guaranteed business success in 2012. Jesus is not simply some sort of glorified life coach. Instead, he offers us the opportunity of certain, assured, unquestionable membership of God's family. And therefore, for the Christian, the true Christian is someone who, if asked, would be able to say, do I belong to God's family? Without a second's pause, yes, I belong. He is my father. I am his child. And for the genuine Christian, as someone suggested to me rather ominously at a morning meeting, were we to walk out of St. Helens and onto Bishopsgate, and were the worst to happen, and we to come into collision with the passing number 25 on its way to South London, I thought this was rather a dark thought to approach Tuesday with, but it was suggested this morning, were we to come into collision like that, there would be no question where we would go. We would be ushered straight into God's presence, welcomed just as a small child is welcomed as he or she returns through the front door on the way back from school. We are insiders, we belong, and if we have received Jesus, our membership is guaranteed. Now, my experience is that for many of us in England, this certainty promised by Jesus, and here right at the heart of this very famous reading, is not our normal experience. Even those of us who call ourselves Christian appear often to lack this security, and we are diffident and lack confidence. We're somehow unsure and unclear about our relationship with God, and we think that it might be almost presumptuous or cocksure or arrogant to say, I am definitely in. Well, look at verse 12 again. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The recipients are all who believed, everyone without exception. The verb is a past tense of certain and complete action. He gave. And that word, the right, is a powerful word that describes the absolute authority of a military commission or a ruling governing body. The right. Such that the gift is assured family membership. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Think carefully for a moment about your own family membership. I'm sure for the vast majority of us here, we have real confidence in these matters. One of the reasons I take it why, when internet banking, the security questions are so often based around where were you born? What's your mother's maiden name? I was born in Loughborough. My mother's maiden name is Porter. It's not, actually, because I thought you might try and access my accounts. I know what you're like. But there's never a moment's hesitation on these matters, is there? This verse, in the most famous of introductions here in John's Gospel, promises just such security when it comes to our membership of God's family if we receive the Lord Jesus into our life. So that should anybody doubt my family membership, all I have to do is to turn to this verse. And I often say to the young Christian believer, it's not necessarily quite right to use the verse like this, but I often say to the young Christian believer, well, have you received Jesus? Well, in that case, you can insert your name there. To William Taylor, whatever your name is, who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God. So then it's not that the Christian is arrogant or presumptuous or inappropriately cocksure. This is a promise from God. It cannot be presumptuous to believe God's promise. It's a promise of certain membership of God's family. Not to take God at his word shows a degree of arrogance. Nor is it inappropriately cocksure. This is a promise for secure, certain, and guaranteed membership of God's family. Confident assurance. And may I suggest that to walk through life unable to answer these big questions, where I come from, who I really am, which family I belong to in terms of eternity and God's family, where I'm going, is to walk through life lacking clarity, insecure, without purpose, and lost. Pity the poor, impoverished individual who is not able to say that they belong with confidence to the family of God as they drift like an atomized speck through the vast immensity of this universe. No purpose, no clarity, no sense of direction. So then to our two listeners, to the inquirer returning for a second taste, see what is on offer in the Christian faith. A fresh start, actually. The ability to enter through the rest of your life and indeed into eternity, knowing who you belong to, with real confidence. I am part of God's family. And to the genuine Christian who has received Jesus, well, it's a great way to start the new year, isn't it? In a sense, no matter what the last week or fortnight has held for me, as I hang on to this verse, have you received Jesus? Do you believe in his name? Then he has given you the right to call yourself a child of God. Great security. I want us to move then from the first point, the certain assurance or the confident assurance, to the inescapable offence of the authentic Christian message. Because somebody might well say, well, it's all very well saying this, William, but surely we are all already children of God, aren't we? What's all this talk of becoming a child of God? And the offence, the inescapable offence of the authentic Christian message is this, that human beings, people like you and me, are not by nature God's children. And this is where the most famous of verses in the most famous of readings, rightly understood, cuts against the grain of all other religions, all human philosophy, as it pinpoints the hard truth about us human beings and our true nature. It should lead us to a deep personal humility. So let's look again at our verse and read on into verse 13, where John defines what he's saying more closely by spelling out the negatives. It's one of the very helpful things about John's gospel, that he doesn't leave us in any doubt. He wants us to know precisely what he means. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So then, from verse 13, we can see that membership of God's family is not something that we have automatically. We cannot earn it, we do not deserve it, we are unable to achieve it, we are already disqualified from it if we approach this in our own strength, seeking to qualify ourselves. Did you notice the three negatives? Not by blood. In other words, family membership of God's family is not guaranteed by our genes. We don't inherit membership of God's family as part of our DNA. We're not children of God simply because we were born in the right place or into the right race. Being English or Chinese, or Indian, or African, or American, does not make us part of God's family by birth. Even being Australian, despite what some of our friends from down under might think, doesn't make us naturally a child of God. Going to the right school doesn't qualify me, nor does being part of the English middle or upper income group, nor even does wearing a dog collar or a mitre qualify me. Not by blood. The second negative, nor by the will of the flesh. In other words, family membership of God's family is not earned by our efforts. The flesh here refers to me and my own hard work done in my strength without God's intervention. So I am not a child of God because of my efforts, what I've done. I may have given lots of money to charity. I may have lived a decent life. I may be an upstanding member of the suburban classes or whatever it happens to be. I may go to Mass. I may have been confirmed. But that's not what makes me into a child of God. To all who received him, who believed, he gave the right to become a child of God, not by blood, nor by the flesh, not by my own effort. That doesn't qualify me. And the third negative, nor by the will of man. In other words, family membership of God's family is not passed on by our parents. It's not because of what my parents decided to do to me when I was a baby. I was baptized as a baby. I think I wore the family christening robe. Thankfully, there are no pictures available on Facebook, which is a great blessing and relief for everybody. Just because I was dunked in a jug of water as I can tell you very definitely, against my will at the age of 8 weeks, doesn't make me a member of God's family. Nor because you can say, oh, well, I'm a Catholic. Does that make you a member of God's family? Not by the will of man. I know Christians from an Indian background who can trace their family tree right back to the original four families who were converted when Thomas preached the gospel in India at the end of the first century. And at their baptism, they're given this great family tree in a massive book which traces them all the way back. Yes, I'm related to this one who was baptized in 90 AD or whatever it happened. Maybe it's 110, something like that. That doesn't make you a child of God. Not by the will of man. And so the great and inescapable offence of the Christian message is that you and I are not naturally members of God's family. It takes a great work of God, born by God. He has to start something new within me, a fresh start with a new beginning, a new heart, a change of mind, something done from outside, within, by him, not by blood, not by the flesh, not by the will of man. And in passing, if you want proof that we are not naturally members of God's family, it is given to us there in verses 9 and 10, on the other side, if you like, of our key verse. So have a look at verse 9. The true light, that's Jesus, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people did not receive him. So the true light refers to Jesus. He is the light that lights up every man. This is history. We're dealing with divinity. He is the one who's come from above into this world. He lived a life that showed beyond doubt that he is the light of life and that he's come from God. He died on a cross. He was raised to new life at his resurrection. And therefore, inevitably, if Jesus is who he says he is, God himself walking the earth, my response to Jesus shows which family I really come from. And as verses 9 and 10 tell us, the natural human response to Jesus is not to know him, not to receive him, to hold him at arm's length. Is that not your natural response to Jesus, apart from the work of God? It's certainly my natural response. When I hear of the purity and the authority and the power of Jesus, I say to myself, well, actually, I don't want to get too close to you. And insofar as I hold Jesus at arm's length in my life, so far do I demonstrate my true family identity. An illustration of this, forgive me using something personal, we just packed our daughter off to South Africa for 6 months. And she was due to be met at the airport by some friends of ours. Imagine she arrived at the airport and our friends saw her, she saw them, she walked up to greet them, and they blanked her completely and just walked on past. What would that tell you about our friends' attitude to us as a family? Not interested in us. No relationship with us. Thankfully, they didn't and received her in, and it all ended happily. Just in case you're worried, I'm sure you're not in the least bit concerned, but concern some people in our family. So then our response to the Lord Jesus, if he is God the Son, demonstrates our response to God the Father and our true family membership. And my own personal experience, and yours too, is that left to our own devices, without the intervention of God, Jesus is a bit part player in our life. And at best, we hold him at arm's length. and at worst we want nothing to do with him. We are not by nature members of God's family, and that should lead us to enter 2012 with a very great deal of humility, personal understanding about ourselves, that there is something dark within every single one of us that shows we are disqualified from membership of God's family by our own efforts or whatever our parents might do to us or wherever we're born or whatever. Confident assurance, security, inescapable offense, then humility. And finally, the glorious and gracious offer, which should lead then to gratitude and purpose. And the gracious offer of God is held out to us in the words of verse 12, which let's look at it one last time. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right. So that in spite of our deep offensiveness to God, and it's in spite of your track record and my track record, in his goodness, God became man and dwelt amongst us. He lived a life of purity and perfection. He went to his death on the cross as a deliberate purpose so that he could carry God's judgment at your failure and mine. So that as we receive him, we receive his forgiveness. Our slate, if you like, is wiped clean as all of God's judgment on our failure is laid onto Jesus and as God forgives us and welcomes us into his family. Here then is the generous, glorious, gracious offer of God in Jesus Christ as he offers us a fresh start to all who receive Jesus and believe in his name. He gave. It's a gift. Now, to the inquirer, and I hope there are many inquirers here, and I do hope those of us who are regulars will feel very open to bring our friends here week by week to hear the glorious good news of the Christian message. But if you are here as an inquirer, you know, you may not feel ready at this stage to receive Jesus. You say, I just don't know enough about him. Well, may I encourage you to make it your number one priority this year to get to know Jesus for yourself so that you can receive him. Any number of ways you could do that. Many of us here are engaged in a project of reading John's Gospel one-on-one with a colleague. And you might say to the person who's brought you, you know, I'd love to do that. Would you be prepared to read through John's Gospel with me and help me to understand it? Or you might like to come to the Christianity Explore course or just come here regularly, Tuesday by Tuesday. We won't pester you or bother you. Just come and listen so that you know Jesus well enough to receive him. Others of us, the old sweats, as it were. This will, forgive me if you don't like being referred to like that, actually, I've seen an awful lot of people for whom it's entirely inappropriate. I'm so sorry, ladies, but the blokes, you old sweats, for you guys, for all of us, what gratitude should fill our life? He gave the right to somebody like me. He gave the right. And what purpose as we head into 2012 to become a child of God? That I can walk through this year full of deep security, tangible humility, joy and thanksgiving, knowing that I am a child of God. First and foremost, oh, not a banker first and foremost, or a broker first and foremost, or even a father or mother first or foremost, or a husband or wife first and foremost, but a child of God first and foremost. Because he gave me the right through his death on the cross. Well, let's close together in prayer. Next week we'll be back in Luke's Gospel. Please come, put it in the diary, don't miss out. Let's pray. He gave the right. to become children of God. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in real humility. We know we don't deserve it. We could never earn it for ourselves. We are not worthy of it. Indeed, the way we conduct ourselves shows that we are disqualified from it in our own strength. And we thank and praise you for this glorious gift that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and that he came with the purpose of going to his death on the cross, carrying your judgment at our sin, so that we might be forgiven. We pray for the work of your Holy Spirit within each one of us and every Christian here in the city, that you would fill us with security, knowing that we belong, that you would move us to a real humility, aware that it is not through our own strength or achievement, and that you would make us deeply grateful and full of purpose in this coming year. For your name's sake, amen.